Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what organization founded and funded Janusz Korczak's orphanage in Warsaw at the beginning of the 20th century? The UN General Assembly proclaimed December 10th as Human Rights Day in 1950 to bring to the attention of the peoples of the world the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as the common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations. This year we've decided to commemorate Human Rights Day by bringing you a program about a man who was a strong believer and defender of children's rights. Janusz Korczak is the pen name of Henryk Goldschmidt, a Polish-Jewish educator, children's author, and pediatrician, who's best known for his innovative ideas about educating children. For many years, he directed an orphanage in Warsaw, where he put into practice many of his groundbreaking pedagogical methods. Two of his best-known books are How to Love a Child, published in 1919, and The Child's Right to Respect, published in 1929. In August 1942, he refused freedom and stayed with his orphans when the institution was sent from the Warsaw Ghetto to the Treblinka extermination camp. Korczak's life and work were depicted in Polish director Andrzej Wajda's 1990 film Korczak. Agnieszka Witkowska-Krych has a master's degree in anthropology and culture, and her MA thesis was on the life and legacy of Janusz Korczak. She works at the Institute of Culture at the Center for Documentation and Research, which is a branch of the Historical Museum of Warsaw, and is located in the building that houses the Janusz Korczak Orphanage. There's also a small exhibit there that's dedicated to Korczak's life and work. Ms. Witkowska-Krych spoke with us about Korczak and his legacy. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Agnieszka. Could you tell us first who Korczak was a little bit?
Of course. Korczak was a writer, a pedagogue, and a medical doctor. Those are the three legs that he was standing mostly. But he was also serving other different social roles. He was also a radio speaker, journalist, and a teacher, lecturer for other teachers. So he held so many different functions in the society. Of course, he is best known from this educational field as an educator, as a pedagogue, as a founder of the rights of the children.
Could you go into that a little bit more and talk about when he did this, because I think that's very important, and also what kind of innovations he created in the field of education?
Actually, everything started from the medicine. He was studying medicine, and he finished, I don't know if with flying colors or without, but finally he finished medicine. But already during his medical studies, he started thinking about changing his, we can say, vocation from healing the bodies to healing the souls. He was very much interested in education. He was very much interested in bringing up the children, in providing them with safe conditions to grow and to develop. So already during his studies, he decided that probably he will finally be the teacher, the educator. Of course, he had some kind of medical experience. He was working as a doctor in a children's hospital here in Warsaw. But after a few years of his medical practice, he decided to quit this part of his life. And with the help of a group of people and with the great help of Stefania Wilczyńska, his closest co-worker, they opened the institute, kind of an institute, an orphanage for the Jewish children, for more than 100 Jewish orphans, who, by the way, very often were not orphans, they were social orphans. They had families, they had mothers, fathers, but very often the families were unable to take care of them or to provide them with food or place to sleep, for example.
When was the orphanage first opened?
It the orphanage for the Jewish children was opened in 1912, and that was the first big project of Janusz Korczak. But actually, he also participated in another project for Polish children, for the children of the workers, physical workers. That was another orphanage called Nasz Dom, Our House, that was opened in 1919 in Pruszków, and then next to Warsaw, very close to Warsaw, and then after it was transferred from the suburbs of Warsaw, to Bielany district. The building is still there, so anyone who is interested can visit it.
Were there orphanages in existence before, or were these the first orphanages that there were?
Of course, the social welfare and the social help to the children was present in the Jewish and Polish society many years before Korczak even was born. But actually, he was the first who decided that his orphanage will look a little bit different from those that were present at his times. First of all, he decided that he is not going to separate sexes, that boys and girls will live together, will sleep in the same building, and will play together. He knew that society is not male or female, but society is mixed, so there is no need to create such an artificial reality for the children, and it's better to keep them together. Secondly, sometimes it's called utopia, and probably it was some kind of a utopia, but he decided that the institution will work as a little society, as a little state, with its own little institutions like court, like parliament, like notary, like many different things that facilitated the life and facilitated the relations between the children and the workers and the teachers. He also wanted that people who are engaged in this project will feel responsible, would feel responsible for the place and for each other. That's why when the kid was coming here, the other kid, the older one, was appointed to be his guide, was appointed to be his some kind of a leading angel that will show how the institution works. And also the teachers and the children and the workers were responsible for the place. Everyone was given some kind of a duty to perform, some kind of a place to be responsible for. And there were no cleaning ladies for more than 100 people. There were no people who were only taking care for that. But the children were responsible, were given the particular tasks to perform.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this parliament and how the children were responsible for certain things that you say were very different?
Parliament was some kind of the body of this institution that was working as a real parliament in a real state. They were providing the community with the laws, the obligations, and the responsibilities. They were also appointing the special days, like for example the day of the cook. And this day the cook was given a free day and the children were cooking for each other. And, for example, the day of the first snow, or the day of not waking up very early, the day of sleeping as much as you can. So they had the influence on the life, on the shape of the situation here, on the reality. And those were the children. Also the court. The children were supposed to see, to have a deep insight into the problems that were taking place here also. So the judges were chosen from the group of people, from the group of the children, and they were supposed to decide if the person is guilty or not guilty. Of course, the punishments were not fatal punishments, but it was some kind of a social influence on those children who were trespassing the laws that were erected and accepted by the community.
How old were the children in the orphanage?
They were coming here at the age of 7, and they were staying here for 7 years. That was more or less the time of the primary school at that time. So at the age of 14, they were either going home, because very often they had homes, either they were staying here and they were having some kind of a stash, some kind of a practice. They were staying here and they were helping the teachers to take care about the rest of the children. So they were allowed to be here, they were fed here, but as an exchange they were supposed to work here for 3 or 4 hours per day.
Did the children also receive some kind of vocational training?
Yes, mostly girls who were taught how to sew, and also some of the boys were also dealing with wood. But actually the vocational training was, they were starting after going out from here, after leaving this place.
Who were the teachers and where did they come from and what kind of training did they receive?
So the people living and working here, the teachers, the educators, actually the educators, because they were not like school teachers, because children were going outside from this institution to Jewish schools located all around. So those who were working here as pedagogues, as educators, some of them they were very young students who were helping, but the core staff, those were very well trained people after educational seminars, after studies very often. So they were not here by accident. They were coming here sometimes because of the protection, sometimes because they were asking for this post. But those were very well educated young people. Not young at the beginning, then after they were getting older, of course.
So can you tell us about how the orphanage evolved through the 30s, through the war, and what it's doing now?
The whole project started in 1912, but we already know that the First World War started in 1914. So the first 2 years they were trying to adapt the new location, the new place, and they were trying to implement the new rules. Then after, because of the war, for many years, Korczak was not present here. He was sent to the front as a doctor, educated as a doctor. He was sent to the front, and the institution was under the auspices of Stefania Wilczyńska, the closest co-worker of Janusz Korczak. So that was a quite harsh time. And in the 20s, the institution, it blossomed, definitely. That was the best time of the institution. They were getting more and more funds, because maybe it's important. It was, the institution was independent from the city, independent from the state, and independent from the Jewish community. It was founded and then after subsidized by some kind of a non-governmental organization called Relief for the Orphans. So, and that was the best time. They had money, they had area to develop. They also created a branch, some kind of a branch of this, a filia of this institution next to Warsaw for younger kids.
This organization that subsidized it, did it also subsidize non-Jewish orphanages, or was it a Jewish organization?
That was a Jewish organization. It was a group of wealthy bankers, of wealthy manufacturers, presidents of different institutions. So it was purely Jewish. It was purely Jewish. So in the 20s, the institution was developing very well. Korczak was here. Korczak was also in the best time of his life, we can say. But in the 30s, slowly but surely, unfortunately, the situation was getting worse and worse, also because of the crisis that came to Poland later than in America. In America, it was 1929. It came later to Poland, but still people were feeling that something bad is going on, and also because of the anti-Semitism that in the 30s in Poland was maybe not very strong, but it was visible. And Korczak was feeling that something is getting to the end. At that time he visited Palestine twice, maybe because he was looking for new inspiration, maybe because he was thinking about emigration. We don't know for 100%, but 30s is probably not the best time in the history of this institution. Then after, of course, the Second World War broke out, and in 1940 the orphanage was forced to move to the Warsaw Ghetto, because Krochmalna Street 92 was not incorporated into the area of the Warsaw Ghetto, and that's why they had to abandon this place and to move to the Warsaw Ghetto. And as the borders of the ghetto were shrinking, they had to move once more to the last location, when now there is famous Palace of Culture and Science, And from that place, from the last location, on the 5th of August 1942, they were deported to Treblinka. That was the day when all of the institutions, social welfare institutions, for the children were liquidated.
But this building remained standing here where it is now. What happened to it after the war?
That's an amazing story, and actually we don't know why the story happened like this, because around this building nothing remained. So probably we can assume, we are not sure, but we can assume that this building somehow served the Germans. That's why they saved it. Moreover, the district was called Wola, and it's still called Wola, was almost completely destroyed. So it's a real miracle that this very building remained. Of course it was a little bit destroyed. The last floor was completely destroyed, and that's why it looks a little bit different from the previous look. But it was an amazing miracle. After the Second World War, for a while there was a school of the party, school of journalism that was founded and subsidized by the party, Communist Party. And then after, in the 50s, the building was refurbished and prepared for the children. And in the 50s, the orphanage named after Janusz Korczak was opened. And the orphanage works here till now. And the building is shared with the branch of the Museum of Warsaw, the Center for Documentation and Research, Korczakianum, for which I'm working.
During the time of the communist regime and now, who subsidizes, who pays for the orphanage? Is it public?
Of course, the orphanage, as all of the orphanages in Poland, is public. It's founded by the city, by the municipality, by Warsaw, actually.
And are any of Korczak's teachings or practices that he originally did here, are they still kept up with these children?
Yes, but of course the times have changed and the methods have changed as well, only some of them. I know that in the orphanage there is a functioning parliament. About court I haven't heard, never, but I know that the children are participating in the workshops concerning Janusz Korczak. They are also taking part in competitions concerning his life and legacy. And as far as I know them, because I meet them every day, I know that they are interested. They are also participating in the events that are prepared by us, by the museum. And they are they are good ambassadors of Korczak's life, of Korczak's ideas.
Is the body of children similar to that at the time of Korczak? In other words, the ages and how long they stay here and where they come from?
It's completely different, and maybe that's also the reason why the methods are different. The children, again, are not orphans. Very often they are social orphans. They are coming here at the age of 3 sometimes because of some interventions in their homes. Now the law in Poland says that it's impossible to separate siblings, so that's why we have sometimes the youngest at the age of 3 and the eldest at the age of 18. So actually that's the age of the children, from 3 to 18.
And now do they get a kind of a standard education, so when they're 18 they have some kind of a high school diploma or something?
All of them, they are attending normal public schools. And after JCSE exam, after the exam at the end of the high school, they are also given some kind of support. To some of them, they continue their education, they study. Some of them decide to work already.
So the schools that they go to, they're not here at the orphanage. They're integrated into normal
Absolutely
public
not.
Schools.
Absolutely not. They are going to different schools, very often to the schools from the place they were taken out from.
Okay, is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
I just would like to invite you to this place and to see the building, the original building of Korczak's orphanage, and to feel the spirit of him, of Stefania Wilczyńska, and to try to hear the voices of the children who are living here, who are playing here, and who are happy, in my opinion, here also.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.